You know, a lot of people say to me, Ron, you love food so much. Why don't you do like a cooking show? Okay, so I'm going to open the show with some cooking ideas for you, for those of you that claim you can't cook. All right, let's start with soup. Do you enjoy soup? Here's what you do. Go to the store, buy a can of soup. Open it up, put it in a pan, heat it up. There's your soup. Do you like ramen noodles? Go to the store, buy some ramen noodles. Put it in a pan, heat it up with some water. You got your ramen noodles. Ron, how about the perfect pancake? Go to the store, buy pancake mix. Follow the instructions in a bowl. Put it on a griddle or on a hot pan. Flip it over. Put some syrup on it. You got yourself pancakes. What the hell do you need from me?
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
All right, now you know how to cook.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, right here.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? You feeling all right? You looking good? Eep, eep, beep, 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 beep. I ran into another one of these people yesterday. A girl. And she's, not that girls are supposed to know how to cook. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it happened to be a girl. And I said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to pick up some dinner. I'm going to go home. And I said, do you pick up dinner on the way home from work every day? And she said, yes, I do. And I said, why do you do that? She says, well, I don't cook. I said, because you don't have time. No, I don't know how to cook. I'm not a good cook. And I didn't. And then I just walked away into the sunset. I didn't want to hurt her, but I can't stand that when anybody says I can't cook. I just leave that for the experts. I can't heat things up at all. I can't cook. I and some people want these beautiful, luxurious kitchens with beautiful marble countertops from the center of Italy where they make the marbles. And they want the gigantic stoves, the 8-burner gas stoves that they have in the restaurants and the gigantic pizza ovens. And they want beautiful floors and just an open concept, a concept that's open. It's open. No closing on the concept. Open the concept. I want to be able to see everything. I want to see you sitting in a toilet from the kitchen. I want that. I want a really open concept. The biggest concept of open you can come up with. I want the most beautiful kitchen in the world. Why, do you love to cook? No, I can't cook. I don't know how to cook. Wow. Bothers me. What do you need to know? What do you need to know? I'm not just talking about opening up cans and heating them up, which you can do, literally, for everything. You'll die from the sodium content, but you can do it. Well, we're going to have chicken tonight. I don't know how to do chicken. You don't have to pluck it. It comes pre-plucked. You don't even have to do any plucking.
You buy the chicken, it's already comes in a package where it's already been, sometimes it's been skinned for you. The skin even comes off if you want. They pluck it, they skin it, they kill it for you, actually. You don't have to buy it alive. It comes in a package in a thing called supermarkets. They're all over the place. That's the place with all the food in it. That's the supermarket, the big places. They got tons of food in there. You go and you get some.
I don't know what to do with the chicken.
Oh, God. You take the chicken out of the package. You put it in a hot pan or something like that. You turn it over when one side's done.
I don't know. I like chicken with string beans.
Okay, here's what you do. You buy chicken, you buy some string beans. Now the chicken has string beans attached to it.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I like a sauce on my chicken.
Okay, you go down the aisle that says sauce. You pick up a jar of sauce, you open up the jar, you pour it on the chicken. What the hell do you need me for?
I don't want it from a jar.
Then buy a little packet. Add some water to it. It's got the instructions. It's not complicated. Put the packet in a bowl. Add a cup of water. Stir it up. Heat it up. You got your sauce. What is so difficult about that?
Well, it sounds very complicated.
I don't know how to cook. Apparently, you know how to eat. You take the stuff. You put it on a fork or a spoon. You shove it in your mouth. Then you got to chew it. Did anybody ever tell you that? You got to chew the thing. Unless it's liquid, it can go right down your throat. Otherwise, you got to chew it first. Otherwise, you'll choke and die, which isn't a bad idea in your case. That's how easy it is.
Wow. Ron, you're amazing. I didn't know it was that easy to cook.
Oh, you're such a moron. Don't ever in my presence say, I don't know how to cook. I can't cook.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. People piss me off. All my listeners know how to cook. You're all special people. Later in the program, we have a very interesting interview with the Mayo Clinic. That's the place where I think that they make mayonnaise. Yeah, you're probably wondering, where does all that mayonnaise come from? The Mayo Clinic. They're there all day making mayonnaise. They know how to cook mayonnaise. Actually, the Mayo Clinic has nothing to do with mayonnaise, in a way. I guess if you eat enough mayonnaise out of the jar, you will end up in the Mayo Clinic. Because the Mayo Clinic is a wonderful place. It's in Minnesota, I believe. I don't think there's anything else in Minnesota. I think that's about it. I don't know what other purpose anybody would have in Minnesota. But people fly from all over the world to the Mayo Clinic. Their mayo is wonderful there. Sorry, I'm just wiping my nose. I apparently have a runny nose today. You better be happy this is radio and you can't see me. I don't look great today. It's very early and I don't look too good and my nose is running, so I don't think we have anything further to talk about between us as far as that's concerned. We're going to talk about heart health with a major person from the Mayo Clinic. The heart's very important. It's the engine. It's the engine in your body, man. It is the engine, and you've got to know what to do with it and how to take care of it. I mean, God, you buy a car, and you got to change your oil at various intervals. I got to tell you, I've been in my heart for about half a century, then some, and I never changed the oil. So I'm just hoping that baby makes it. Anyway, we'll be talking about that little. Okay. I apparently don't know how to talk. So I've chosen a profession where you talk, but apparently you don't know how to. That's like being a plumber. Or can you fix my leaky sink? I don't know how to do that. I thought you were a plumber. Yeah, but I don't know how to do that.
My water heater isn't working.
I'm sorry. I don't know anything about water heaters. I'm a plumber. I'm not a water heater guy. Sorry about that. I really don't know.
Well, my faucet is leaking. Can you fix that at least?
I'm not really familiar with faucets. I can't help you with that, but that'll be $100.
Why? You didn't do anything.
I showed up. I showed up, didn't I? And now here I am. I showed up. That's what we charge for showing up. Thank God you didn't ask me to cook, because I know I can't do that.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
I live and breathe, my friends, in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It's not a state. Oh, no. It's a Commonwealth. I don't know. I don't share the wealth with everybody. I don't get it. I guess that's the theory, but in reality, I don't get it. It's a state, and that's where I live. It's a very democratic state, which I enjoy. I do enjoy that. And as a result, sometimes some issues come up that are confusing to me. I don't get confused about much of anything, to be honest with you. Everything broken down to its simplest components can be solved very, very quickly. That's my motto. When something seems confusing, overwhelming, you can't deal with it, you don't know which direction to go in, you break it down to its smallest component, and then it's easy to deal with. It's like numbers. It's like I've got 2,562 here, and I've got 1,371 here. I don't know what to do with it. Break it down to its simplest components. That's like 4 to 3. Okay, that's simple now. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Anyway, in Massachusetts, there's a bill, not an invoice. There's a bill in the Massachusetts Senate or House or whatever they have there, aiming to ban high school's Native American team names, their logos, and their mascots. As you know, nationally, there's been some about the American Indians, how it appears that people from other countries came here and just took the land away from the Native Americans. We felt very bad about that at a point, and we gave them the ability to have casinos. That's the trade-off, and they seem to be quite happy with that trade-off. That's the amazing part. In any event, they took the deal. But in football and in sports, for some reason, we refer to the American Indians as teams. I don't know why. I don't know why. As a matter of fact, the Dallas Cowboys are about the only reference to cowboys that I can think of, yet the reference to American Indians is rampant throughout sports. Well, in the state of Massachusetts, they said, okay, here's the deal. For the high schools, that's under our state domain. That's, you know, the professional football names, yeah, maybe they're controversial. The Cleveland Indians, I mean, you know, the tomahawk chop, that's a little offensive. That's a little offensive. Well, it is. What if you did that with other groups of people? Like, here's a team, the Jewish cheap people. I mean, you can't do that. You can't do that. People yelling from the stands when the Jewish team comes on the field. Oi, oi, oi. You can't do that. That's not right. So in, and I just use that as one example. There are many. So you can take any ethnic group and you can make fun of them, which, you know, happens that we don't name sports teams after them like we do the American Indians. I mean, I don't know if the American Indians were violent. I guess they were, but I guess they had reason to be pissed off. If someone came and took your land away from you and shot your family dead, would you be a little bit irritated? So I don't know. I wasn't there. Okay, I wasn't there. I don't know, but it doesn't look good. It just, on both sides, it didn't look good. So maybe we should just like leave both sides alone instead of naming sports teams after them, and I don't know why you would. But again, when you're talking about a state, the state education system, which sanctions all these high schools and these high school football and sports teams, you do have a say in it. So Massachusetts is considering banning high schools' ability to have their teams named after Native Americans. And you're saying, Ron, I hear you saying it, how's this possible? State Senator Barbara Letalian filed a bill last month aimed toward banning high schools from using Native American team names, mascots, or logos. Potentially affected schools may include, and here's the list of schools, which have some relevant name to American Indians. The Agawam Brownies. I don't know. Wow. Wow. I don't know what the brownie part is. Is it referred to the pastry or the color of skin? That's a touchy one. The Algonquin Tomahawks. The Amesbury Indians. Well, that's direct. The Assabet Valley Aztecs. The Andover Golden Warriors. I don't know what Golden Warriors would have to do with American Indians necessarily. Wait a minute. The Athol Red Raiders. Oh, yeah. I had hemorrhoids last month, and my Athol was full of Red Raiders. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying there? But that's not what they're referring to. The Barnstable Red Raiders. The Billerica Indians. The Blue Hills Warriors. The Braintree Wamps. The Wamps. Oh my, that doesn't sound good. I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound good. The Braintree Wamps. Change it to the Braintree Wops and see what happens then. See if that's accepted. The Bristol County Agricultural Chieftains. Wait a minute, the Bristol County Agricultural people have a football team? Excuse me? I didn't even know that. Oh, man. The Coyle and Cassidy Warriors, the Dartmouth Indians, the Foxborough Warriors, seems to be a lot of warriors involved here, the Grafton Indians, the Hanover Indians, the King Philip Warriors, the Lincoln Sudbury Warriors, the Lowell Red Raiders, the Maskamet Chieftains, the Melrose Red Raiders, the Middleborough Sachems. I don't know what a sachem is, man. I'm sorry. I plead stupid. The Millis Mohawks, the Neshoba Chieftains, the North Quincy Red Raiders, the Pentucket Sachems, the Saugust Sachems. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. The Seekonk Warriors, the Tewksbury Redmen. Well, there's a color of the skin right there, huh? That's a little, that's not right. That's absolutely not right. The Seekonk Warriors, the Tewksbury Redmen, I just said that. The Wakefield Warriors, the Wayland Warriors, and the Winchester Sachems. What the fuck's a sachem? Is that a tribe? Am I pronouncing, is it the Sachems? I don't know. In any event, they want to get rid of all those things. While the Warriors' name isn't specified in the bill, it often comes with Native American imagery and logos. I guess I might be stretching it a little bit. The logos would be obvious, I guess. Letalian, this representative, is a Democrat who represents Second Essex, this hard to say, and Middlesex. A lot of sex going on there. That area consists of Lawrence, Andover, and Dracut. She filed Bill SD.1119 on behalf of 11 Tewksbury constituents. Linda Thomas is one of the Tewksbury residents who requested the bill, saying that roughly 40 schools have what she says are derogatory mascots, logos, or team names. She probably hasn't talked about the Pembroke penises. That's probably not proper either. And it's not so much the name, it's the logo that's annoying. The Tewksbury school mascot is the Redman. Last year, a push to change the name was rejected in a school committee vote. That's a lot of children who will be taught in Massachusetts public schools that this type of language and imagery is acceptable. It is not. Opponents of the potential ban say the team names are part of a rich school history. See, that's always the argument. It's tradition. We've been hanging people from trees for hundreds of years. It's tradition. Why should we change it now? Same thing, maybe. I don't know. Some of those team names pay tribute to the town's Native American roots. Yeah, there's a tribute right there. We're really a tight-knit community, and we think a lot of take a lot of pride in our community name, Tewksbury resident Bob Payne told the Enterprise when the school committee voted against a change. A statement by the National Congress of American Indians condemns the use of harmful stereotypes. Specifically, rather than honoring Native peoples, these caricatures and stereotypes are harmful, perpetuate negative stereotypes of America's first peoples, and contribute to a disregard for the personhood of Native peoples. There has been some change in recent years. Natick High School swapped the Redmen in favor of the Red and Blue in 2008. Just this month, a committee voted to drop Indians as Turner Falls High School's mascot. It's an interesting question. And now I pose it to both you and I. Well, that sounds like a school. It sounds like a college, doesn't it? A university. I go to you and I. I turn this to you and I and myself. How do we feel about this? Do you know what? I don't know. I don't. For once, or not often, I am stumped by this. I do not know. Tradition is no excuse. Never use tradition as an excuse, because you can change things and start a new tradition. Traditions are not wonderful. There was slavery in America by many presidents and such. It was a tradition. We changed that because that proved to be absolutely absurdly horrible. So we changed that thing. Now you're not allowed to call teams like the Providence Slaves. You can't do that. You can't do that. That's disgusting. So why would we not, excuse my example, but I think I'm making a point here. Why would we not just say to ourselves, look, that tradition is like, what are you holding on to? The tradition of having it printed on a piece of paper, or you don't want to replace all the logos on the uniforms? It's too expensive. What's the deal there? And that's my point. What's the deal? What's the big deal in changing it? Now, some of you will stand there and say, this is America. We can call it whatever we want. It's harmless. It's harmless. If it's harmless, it offends somebody, why don't you have some sensitivity and change it for those that are offended by it? Does it change the prowess of your football team? No. Does it change their ability to be successful in their football endeavors? No. It just hurts our tradition. We've been called the Tomahawks for over 100 years. All right, now call yourself the Coffee Cups and get on with it. Is it that big a deal? You might say that to both sides. Is it that big a deal that you have to change the name? To a lot of people, it is. So change it. Change it. Show some sensitivity to those that may be offended. Well, then nothing's going to work. Everybody's going to be offended about something. No, they're not. No, they're not. The Tewksbury Coffee Cups is not going to offend anybody except for somebody that drinks tea. And they're not going to care. But if they have ties to the American Indian, to the Native Indian, the Native American, it's offensive. You know what? I'm going to go down to the nearest casino and see if I can figure out this odd and strange dilemma.
You are listening to to the Ron Van Dam Show. But you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to the Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including the Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
Alrighty now, it's time to talk about the heart. Let's see if we can do things from the heart for a change. Very important subject to matter. The prowess of the Mayo Clinic goes beyond the mayonnaise jar. It's quite an institution. It's saved many people's lives. People from all over the world fly to the Mayo Clinic to take care of various problems, sometimes very rare in their circumstances. They're really incredible people. Let's speak to them now.
Morning, Ron.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great.
Great. This is Dr. John Wald. He's a consultant in the Department of Radiology at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and so much more. He joins us now. We're talking about heart health. We all have hearts, so this kind of involves all of us, I guess. Although I know some people that are heartless that, you know, maybe not. But basically, yes. I know that there was a survey done recently. Tell me about that.
Well, Ron, thanks for allowing me to participate today. Mayo Clinic completed its third national survey of health consumers to find out what's on their mind when it comes to their health. And this past December, we really focused on heart health. Since February is National Heart Health Awareness Month, we wanted to see where health consumers were on their knowledge of heart disease, what they're doing to prevent heart disease, and how they're moving to healthier lives.
Hmm. Was there a different opinion or a different response from men as opposed to women?
Well, it was interesting because there was a slightly different response from men as opposed to women. Mm-hmm. When you talk to men about their heart health, they're more likely to turn to exercise to improve their heart health.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing women look to is a healthier diet. Overall, men look to exercise just for the recreation of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when women look to exercise, they're looking to lose weight, which is a benefit to overall heart health.
Okay. And indeed, when you carry it out through research, do both men and women have the same concerns about heart health? In other words, is that more significant of a concern for men than it is for women? Or is it that's across the board, has nothing to do with sex?
Well, when we look at heart health awareness, I think it's similar between men and women.
Okay.
The interesting thing that we have to be aware of is that heart disease, and specifically heart attack symptoms, can present very differently in women than they can in men.
Mm-hmm.
One of our own cardiology consultants, Dr. Sharon Hayes, speaks often about a condition called SCAD, spontaneous coronary artery dissection, which is a health concern, particularly in younger women.
Oh.
And the symptoms of a heart attack in women can present differently. And oftentimes, heart disease is thought of as a man disease. And so women often ignore the signs and symptoms of heart attack. And one of the things we're looking to do in this health checkup is to raise awareness for heart disease in women.
I gotcha. Yeah, I guess the idea, I mean, to be very archaic about it, is that men go through stress because of all their responsibilities, and women have no responsibilities, so they don't have stress. But let's not get into that. But that's not the case, certainly, at all. Let's talk about... go on.
No, you're absolutely right. It's not the case at all. And I think what we're finding as part of this recent health checkup is that stress is an equal opportunity employer, if you will.
Yeah.
And whether it be work or school, that's where most people find their stress.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of Americans attribute it to their stress to their job or to their school.
Yeah.
And we, whether it be the men or women, have to find ways to relieve that stress.
Yeah. Let me talk about some for just a second. It's a little bit off the beaten path, but it's true. Since the election, I have talked to many people in what I do here doing interviews. There are a lot of people that are very stressed about this thing going on in the country. Many people. And when you talk about it, they admit that they have stress that they've never had before. Are you finding that as well?
Well, a little bit, I would say. Right. When we asked people about stress in their life, it was the baby boomers who said that politics is particularly stressful for them.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, in our last survey in the fall 2016, when we did the national health checkup, we found that greater than 70% of Americans were very concerned about obtaining affordable, high-quality, accessible health care. So we do know that it's on the minds of most Americans.
Yeah, okay. Do certain ethnic backgrounds, are they more prone to concerns of heart health?
Absolutely. And although in our last survey we found that Americans were most concerned about cancer as their leading health concern, we found that when it came to heart health, African Americans, two-thirds of them were most concerned about heart health. And they have good reason to be, because African Americans have a significantly higher disease rate when it comes to heart disease. They have significantly higher disease rates in hypertension, obesity, and diabetes, all key contributors to heart disease. So we need to continue to educate and make individuals aware of what they can do to prevent heart disease, particularly in the African American population.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. What do we do about this? I mean, do we actually live our lives a little bit differently than the way that we have been? What is the message that we're putting forth here?
Well, Ron, the message that we're putting forth is the best way to prevent heart disease is through prevention and leading a healthier life. When we ask individuals, we found that women were more likely to change their diet and men were more likely to exercise. And those are two key things that we can do to improve our overall heart health. We have to maintain our cholesterol levels at reasonable levels below 200. We have to watch our blood pressure. But the more that we can exercise and eat right, the less heart disease will be in all of our lives.
Yeah. Even though it is hereditary, I understand. But it doesn't mean that you are slated for it. It just means that you'd be more prone to it.
That is correct. 25% of the individuals we surveyed had a family history of heart disease before the age of 55. 85% of those individuals were aware of the symptoms of a heart attack because they had a friend or family member who had heart disease.
Yep.
But genetics plays just one part in that. Exercise, diet, maintaining our cholesterol rates and decreasing our blood pressure are other things that can control that. If you go to healthcheckup.mayoclinic.org, there's a great heart risk calculator on there that mixes all those ingredients together, and then out the other side comes your risk of heart disease and the things that you can do to help modify that risk.
Okay. Now, you mentioned baby boomers. The percentage of the population that are baby boomers who are getting toward the elderly category is amazingly high, phenomenal, because of the population at that time. But I know that a lot of them are concerned about exercising too much where it may put strain on their heart, yet they know that they should keep their body in motion. Is there a happy medium in there somewhere?
There absolutely is a happy medium when it comes to exercise. First and foremost, sit down with your physician and have a conversation about exercise. Because just like genetics and that input into heart disease, each one's persona when it comes to exercise is different. So somebody that had a history of heart disease may exercise at a different rate than a young, healthy individual. And so consulting your physician is incredibly important. But the one thing we do know is that movement is beneficial.
Movement.
So maybe that means getting up and just walking in place when you're walking, watching your favorite TV show and you have a commercial break. Maybe it means walking to the mailbox every day to get your mail, and then over the course of time, walking to your neighbor's mailbox and back again. But consult with your physician, and he'll work with you, or she'll work with you, to come up with an appropriate plan based on your health persona.
Okay. Now, what about millennials? We talked about baby boomers. Where do millennials stand in all of this, in their opinion, in their actions?
Well, millennials are warming up to the idea of heart disease. When we did our survey, we didn't see a significant level of concern in that group of individuals. And frankly, I think that heart disease is a distant concern for them. Where we need to intervene with millennials is getting them used to this health and wellness concept so that they're exercising, so they're eating a lean, high protein, high fiber diet, so that they prevent the risk of health disease as they move in toward to those baby boomer age categories.
Okay. Isn't high protein and high fiber, isn't that where the carbohydrates are and the calories are higher? I'm a little confused about that.
Well, it is something that I have to refer to particular websites, and I use our Mayo Clinic diet and the healthcheckup.mayoclinic.org to drive me when it comes to my dietary needs. But I would say that lean protein is the better protein.
Yeah.
We need fiber in our diet for a number of different reasons, and what you want to stay away from are those saturated fats, which can contribute to increasing your cholesterol.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about heart attacks for a moment. And especially small silent ones. I would venture to say that many people, by the time they hit their 60s, have had a mild heart attack, but they may not have even known that they did. Is that possible?
Well, I think that that's possible, but I would say that that's the exception rather than the rule.
Okay.
Especially in men, the symptoms of heart attack, that elephant sitting on your chest with pain that radiates up to your jaw or down into your arm, are the key things that will be signs and symptoms of a heart attack. The reason for doing this type of health checkup is to raise awareness not only to those symptoms, but more importantly to the things that we can do to prevent a heart attack. Once that heart muscle is damaged, we can't bring it back. But we want to maintain those blood vessel channels that drive oxygen to that heart, and that's where exercise and that lean diet comes in, to maintain those freeways to your heart and have them not turn into that bumper-to-bumper gridlock that occurs in Boston every morning.
Yeah. Well, how did you know? That's
Listen,
true.
I'm a Jersey boy from way back, so I know East Coast traffic.
I am, too. I'm from Teaneck. Where were you from?
I'm a Northern New Jersey, Morris County boy, about 60 miles outside of New York City.
I was in Bergen County. There you go. We're brothers. Let's Okay, so this is all very significant. When I go to the doctor for my annual checkup, they give me an EKG. Is that enough, or is that that's good? That's a good thing? Leave it at that.
Well, Ron, the EKG is just one way of assessing your heart health, and the EKG will tell you whether you've had changes to the heart muscle, which can change the electrical current in your heart, which is what you read out on that EKG. So if you've had a heart attack in the interim, that can be seen on that EKG.
Okay.
The other things that we want to look at is we want to look at your weight, we want to look at your blood pressure, and we want to look at your cholesterol levels, because those are each of the individual vehicles that can clog those throughways that are leading oxygen to your heart. And if we can decrease those things, we can improve your overall heart health.
And that's why it's important for young adults to go to the doctor. I know a lot of them don't because they feel just fine and they're young. But I know that if you get on medication for any of these situations, cholesterol, blood pressure, then you're really on the road to taking care of this thing and keeping it under control. But I don't think until you reach a certain age do they actually think about that.
Well, what we're seeing is more and more younger folks especially are going to, quote, Dr. Google or the internet search engine to look for concerns about health issues.
Yeah.
70% of the individuals we survey are seeking health information online, and 60% of individuals are starting to manage their health concerns online. And from a provider perspective, we welcome that research that's being done. But ultimately, we'd like to sit down and have a conversation and make sure that the content that people are pulling off of the internet is good, solid content.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons that MayoClinic.org is such a favored website, because we really do have trusted health content on there that leads to an informed conversation with each of our patients.
Yeah, but yeah, you have to know what sites are reliable, which ones aren't. I don't want Dr. Oz to be my family doctor, for example. I don't think that would work too well. So it shouldn't be used in lieu of going to see a doctor, and I'm afraid that a lot of millennials are replacing it with websites, which is probably not great.
Well, I think it's a place to start, mm-hmm. and then ultimately, to your point, it's a conversation with our providers.
Right.
We like to have those types of conversations. We have an application that allows our health consumers and our patients to actually reach out to us on a secure network and have a conversation about their health care.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times, since we see patients from all over the world, subsequent conversations can be done electronically, and I think more and more we'll see millennials and others starting to move to that type of health interaction.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if people in Rochester, Minnesota live longer than other people. Well, anyway, okay. I'm just wondering, because they have a facility like yours to right there physically. That's a nice thing.
Well, it is a nice thing, but if we're going to decrease the overall cost of healthcare in America,
yeah.
we have to start reaching people that are concerned about the health of their lives mm-hmm. and not just when they get sick. So that's why we're starting to have that conversation about heart health or health in general, as opposed to treating illness, which we do very well.
Right.
And I would say we're the best in the world at doing it.
Yeah.
But let's get to a healthier America through keeping our heart healthy and doing the things that we need to do.
Sounds great. Where do we go for more information, Doctor?
Ron, I appreciate it. That's at healthcheckup.mayoclinic.org. Great information on not only diet, but even a health risk, heart health risk calculator, which can help predict your risk of heart disease in the upcoming year. So that's healthcheckup.mayoclinic.org. And thanks very much for the time today.
Great. That's Dr. John Wald. Thank you so much. Great information. And take care.
Thanks, Ron.
Bye-bye. Mm-mm-mm. Huh? 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 Right? Huh? Huh? I'm out of time for today. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.